Hello, and welcome to the Global Film Podcast, a weekly discussion of all things cinema. I'm your host, Diego Andaluz, and today I'm happy to be joined by Dwayne Miller, host of Cinemania World.
Hi, Diego. How are you, man? Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
And Sean Chandler, popular YouTuber and film critic.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I love talking movies and TV too much, so this is an opportunity to do that and talk about some of my favorite stuff.
So glad to have both of you guys on. So on today's episode, we're going to delve right into Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Now, we're only going to be touching on the first episode here due to spoilers, and of course that this is going to be a weekly series that's going to be coming onto Disney Plus this Friday. So I guess let's just delve right in, and I'd love to hear your guys' first impressions on the first episode. Spoiler free, of course.
Okay, so I'll hop in. Yeah, I liked the episode a lot. Because of the first reactions last week, I was assuming we would get like a big action-y MCU kind of episode, but this episode had a lot of moments of levity and personal moments and with our characters, with Falcon and the Winter Soldier, that I did not expect, and I really enjoyed that. And Anthony Mackie's like great here, and of course everyone else as far as the cast so far that they showed is also really good. I love the action as far as what does happen here and whatnot. And they kind of show you what you're going to get into as far as the show as a whole. And, the only thing I'm disappointed by is that the show is only 6 episodes. I could easily, get like 8 episodes out of this, but I had a fun time. A lot of Easter eggs and, you know, reveals that are really cool, you know. Whatnot. Sebastian Stan has a lot of great moments here as well. So I had a good time with it.
I would echo most everything he said. I kind of went in just by the nature of the trailers and everything, expecting big action show, quick moving, back-to-back action sequences. And when the action happens, it's phenomenal that this is what we're getting. This level scale of action in a TV show is crazy. But it's so much more character based than I was expecting. Pausing to like, let's explore these two guys and get to know them and what makes them tick, what makes them insecure, and very much picking up where Endgame left with each of them and what they'd be struggling and battling with. And in certain senses, you know, it's been 5 years since Bucky was in Wakanda, but for him, it hasn't been 5 years. And so, you know, that's still fresh for him. Like all this stuff is very, very fresh as he's trying to get back to normal life. And it's just diving into that character stuff. That's what's the driving force of it. And when action happens, it's as big and as exciting as anything in the MCU. And so it's just real. It's both exactly what I was expecting, but also very different from what I was expecting. And to kind of the point about six episodes feeling short, as you look at this first episode, you also pretty quickly realize this is basically a 4 or 5 hour movie chopped up into 6 episodes. Like it's this first episode is establishing everything, introducing the characters, their personal conflicts and everything. I just really dug what they were going for. It's a solid start.
Yeah, so I think this is definitely a return back to basics for Marvel. I think WandaVision was very unconventional, at least at the start, very much rooted in the actual television format. And then I think, of course, this is back to more of the action-driven filmmaking that really popularized Marvel and made it into the kind of the biggest franchise in the world that it's become today. And I think I'm not sure right now if I prefer it to WandaVision or not, because I think they're two very different beasts. But I definitely think Marvel fans will definitely love this one even more because, again, even though it's not necessarily populated by action sequences from start to finish, at the beginning and then in the second act as well, there are quite a few good action sequences that, again, will definitely please fans. Something about this episode, at least, that I really appreciated that I hadn't seen done to this extent in a Marvel film or show before is that they're kind of able to explore like the politics of being, I mean, I guess Civil War touched on it a little bit, but in terms of like the politics of being a superhero when you're not actually in your suit. Like, again, no spoilers, but there's parts where we see Anthony Mackie as Falcon, Sam Wilson, and his family kind of struggling to make ends meet. And it was the first time where I realized like, oh, whoa, these superheroes, it basically just humanizes superheroes in a way that I don't think I've seen prior to this. Again, WandaVision was very much about humanizing them through grief, but this is very much about humanizing them through, in terms of like politics and also finance and the economy as well. Like, this is an episode that explores the economical circumstances of what ended up happening after the whole snap and the 5 years where half of the universe had just disappeared. So I appreciated that angle to it as well. And you can tell it's a lot of smart writing going on. And I'm excited to see how that will be developed through the next couple of episodes. Regarding the episode length and number, I think it's good. I just, I hope they don't kind of fall back into that, the WandaVision structure, where it's kind of just all a character building. And then at the very last minute, it's like a big plot development. Like, I hope they kind of spread it out evenly through the episodes and not just have them as cliffhangers. I mean, TV's always going to do that, but I'd appreciate a little bit more consistency in terms of key plot moments. But yeah, any thoughts on that?
I kind of agree. You know, when I was when I finished the episode and the credits came on, I won't say I wasn't satisfied by it as a whole, but I will say that I think there's still, I know, although that, you know, you can, they bring in a bunch of TV writers and TV producers for these shows and stuff, but you can still kind of see where they're kind of learning how to do the TV format. Because when you do, when you go from 23 films and then you go and you start diving into television shows, they're still different. You know, you got to know how to end a show on a great beat. You got to know how to kind of make the audience feel kind of fulfilled with an episode. And there was moments here where even with WandaVision, like the show length would be like, you'd see it's like 50 minutes, but then the show kind of goes off and it says 41. And I'm like, well, damn, 9 minutes or 7-8 minutes of credits. And with this show, I won't say because of the trailers and what we all know, you know, we're all in the industry as far as knowing news and stuff like that. We know characters and stuff that's going to be in the show. So I guess for someone like us who are critics and know about this stuff, when they kind of end the show on like a big kind of reveal that would be for a casual, you're like, oh, okay. I mean, yeah. So I agree with you there.
Well, I think with both of these shows, like I've been trying to think through, would it have been better if they used the binge model? And what's the advantage of going with the week to week? Because it seems like, you know, with this one, you get to the end of the episode, it's like, oh, that was a really cool setup, but it's just all set up. And like you said, like, yeah, this final reveal at the end of it, but it's like that reveal is in the trailers. Like, it's not
exactly, yeah.
It's not, if you've seen one trailer for it, you know that there's that guy in it, and it's not Sam. So it just doesn't seem like, oh, wow. It's like, okay, like, if you look at this episode, you couldn't say that there's a specific story inherent to the episode. It's not like there's a conflict introduced for the characters that they have to overcome by the end of the episode. It's just setting up where they're at right now. It's the first 40 minutes of this 5-hour movie or whatever it is. And you wouldn't have that feeling of kind of like, okay, is that okay? I liked it. I want to see more. I can't wait to see more. But you don't have that kind of sense of like, okay, is that it? If the second episode was just right there, you'd just be like, I'm just going to click that. So I've been thinking through that with both of these ones, and they're two very different shows. I mean, they're about as different as you can get, with WandaVision being like, let's just do something bonkers crazy that people don't even have a category on how to interpret. Doing a 1950s sitcom is the beginning of phase four. It's like, what is this? And that's the opposite of this. I mean, we know exactly who these characters are. We know exactly why they're in the situation they're in at the beginning of the show. And we're diving straight into their literal day-to-day life. It's just polar opposites. And with both of them, I've been like, I don't know, maybe the binge model would have been better maybe for these shows. And I'm still struggling with that. I don't know what's the best.
Yeah. Yeah,
I definitely have to agree with you because although I think the binge model does help kind of foster more discourse and kind of like a more cultural longevity, like just look at something like Stranger Things, a huge global hit that people talked about for 1 week and then it pretty much died down compared to something like WandaVision or The Mandalorian that's definitely paced out over a couple of weeks. And it definitely feels much fresher in viewers' minds. And it feels like a period of time rather than just something that they binge and sit down and then just forget about. The thing is that as we saw with WandaVision, it did then breed a lot of theories and a lot of things that ended up just being super far-fetched and did leave a lot of people disappointed. Again, I wouldn't necessarily call it a Last Jedi level response, but it was definitely more mixed than I think the creators had intended. Again, it wasn't necessarily anything teasing the show. It was more of the creators not necessarily knowing how to lead things on without making it seem too big. And then as well, I think a lot of people kind of indulging in those teases and just assuming the biggest things possible. And I mean, I'm kind of starting to see this a little bit with Falcon and the Winter Soldier. We're not even on the wide release of the first episode, and there's already theories running around that Wolverine's going to pop up in the show or something like that. That is insanely far-fetched.
Oh, goodness.
And yeah, because I think they're using like one location that like was known to be like where the Wolverine was in one of the comics. And then now people are catching on to that and saying, oh, this is definitely means that the Wolverine is going to show up, which on it, like there's no way that's happening. And I think, again, once again, this kind of weekly model does result in fans kind of like maybe boosting their expectations. And I think if you're going to use this weekly model, it can work again to foster a lot of discourse. But I think the people in charge of the show and the people doing the press tours do need to kind of learn how to like actually manage fan interests and not necessarily lead people on. Because I do think that WandaVision, again, was half and half one fans kind of reaching. But then also, again, the people in charge saying like, oh, I can't wait until you find out who the engineer is. Or dropping or saying, oh, I'm facing off against an actor that I wanted to face off against my whole life. Things like that. While it's funny teases and like when you think about it in the past, like, oh yeah, like it's funny that they did that. But in the moment, I feel that it was pretty obvious that they were kind of setting up the people, like the audiences for disappointment. So I think it's just all about managing expectations and also like things that the crew says.
Yeah. I mean, I think WandaVision inherent to the show was it's a mystery box. Like you, if you drop people in a 50s sitcom with no context, the point is to make us guess. The point is to disorient us and make us go, how did we get here? And the payoff of the show is the answer to that mystery. And so that's the rules of that show. So I think the audience getting carried away in their theories, it's tough for me to blame people too much for that because that's the game they were playing. They fed it a lot. Some people went too far. Some people expected too much, but they played that. Marvel played that game, and they by now should know better that how fans will respond to them. Like, let's put Quicksilver in here. Just kidding. It's a boner joke. And I think that's one of the advantages of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. That's not what this show is. If you watch this pilot and you go, oh, I think Wolverine's going to show up, you did that to yourself. This show is not playing that game. And so I think the audience can better prepare themselves.
I personally think they should have tested both models and see what happens, because I think WandaVision was great for the weekly episodic event kind of, because every Thursday night, it was like an event and everyone's like, I'm staying up, I'm doing this 3 a.m., midnight, you know, depending on where your area code is. Everyone kind of benefit, like as far as content creators kind of benefited from the weekly format when it came to theory videos or just speculation videos or when it came to reviewing each episode rather than one whole season. I think it has a lot of benefits of doing the weekly, but I do think what happens when you do weekly for a Falcon and Winter Soldier, it's more so that like, and it's only episode one, so I won't act like I was completely disappointed by the episode. I liked it. I just thought it ends kind of softly with the reveal that they try to do. If that wasn't in trailers and if that wasn't like a Comic-Con, oh, here's this character on stage that's going to be in the show, and then you kind of ended it with that, and I'm like, okay. You know, it's different when you compare it to like a Evan Peters that no one kind of really saw coming in WandaVision. that big reveal, then capping off that ending off of that did a lot of wonders. And as far as theories, okay, whoever's saying Wolverine, what is going on? Because I don't even get that vibe at all that any of that stuff is going to happen here. As far as theories when it came to WandaVision, I completely agree with Sean, because I said on my pod that, listen, in the beginning, if you were making all these crazy theories about X-Men and whatnot, then that's on you. But I will say that most of those X-Men kind of theories and Magneto and this person came after everyone saw Evan Peters. What are audiences supposed to think when they see Evan Peters? And then, so you can't really expect them to be like, you can't expect them to be okay with what happens, where it was a legit bait and switch. You got the entire cast saying to the audience that I have this big reveal, I have that big reveal and stuff. Even though I was someone who's like, dude, I'm not buying any of this. But you know, my friends are like, you know, a lot of people were looking forward to these characters being explained. And at the end of the day, all we have is Ralph Boner. So I can't really be too mad at audiences for that one.
I think that is true. Like that WandaVision definitely is a lot more of a mystery box show. And this one's a little bit more straightforward. So maybe the binge model would have worked for this one as well. Cause again, what this one does, that it's very similar to WandaVision, at least from what we've seen, is that it does leave those key plot points for the last couple of seconds. And it's just basically an intro, so I wouldn't necessarily judge it that much. But it's going to be interesting to see how plot information is delivered in the next couple of episodes. Because the thing is, in this, now, like, let's just delve, again, this is going to be light spoilers that if you've seen the trailers, you should be aware of all this. But just if you're trying to go in totally blind, now would be a good time to hop off, just look at the time code below and just hop right on to the outro. But for now, just we're going to go into light spoilers. Sharon Carter isn't in this episode. Zemo, I think, is not in this episode either. But two people who are Danny Ramirez. So apparently his character, in the comics at least, he does turn into a sort of Falcon as well. So, and then,
oh, really?
Of course,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think his name was like revealed to be Taurus or whatever. Again, and then someone pointed out that like he's also like a sort of Falcon-ish hero in some of the comics. So that's going to be interesting to see how it develops. As well as, of course, the actual Captain America. And that's Wyatt Russell, who's playing kind of this new version of Captain America that is revealed in the final sequence, but has been kind of like known from the start, from the actual first announcements when Kevin Feige was kind of reading out the plans.
The theme of everything post-Endgame has been a world trying to figure out what to make of heroes. Mm-hmm. And so you have Hayward in WandaVision trying to create his own robot weapon as his hero to do what he wants. You have, through the trailers of this show, the discussion of, does the world need heroes? You have them putting U.S. Agent out there as them saying, we need a hero, we need a symbol of that. The whole plot of Spider-Man Far From Home is that the world was so desperate for a new hero that they would believe in this wacky guy's theories. And this guy so wanting to be a hero that he put himself forward to be the new hero in Mysterio. And so, I mean, that seems where they're going with so much of this is, who are the real new heroes? Who are to save the world? But I don't have a guess as to the plot line of what they're doing with U.S. Agent, with this terrorist stuff and Zemo. I don't have a guess as to how it all ties together. And I kind of like that. I like that I've seen three trailers for this, the first episode, but I couldn't in any way give you a guess as to what the outline of the next five episodes would be whatsoever. I just don't. I mean, I guess as long as we're touching on spoilers, like the two lead characters don't even talk in the first episode. They're not even like the mm-hmm. one thing we hear about the two of them together is Bucky isn't responding to Sam's texts because he's kind of closed off and doing his own thing with, you know, how he's processing his place in the world. And so I don't even know when they meet. Do they meet at the end of the next episode? Do they meet in the third episode halfway through the show? I don't know. And that's
kind of
cool.
Liked that. Yeah, I kind of liked that. One of my big, that's what I'm saying. One of the big, so last week's like first responses was like, oh my God, it's action packed and this is what you've been missing. And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. And then the episode is what it starts as. And then everything else is kind of character development, which I'm fine with. But I was like, you know, when you go in and you're like, okay, this whole thing's going to be a whole action set piece. But The action, the Falcon action was great. By the way, yeah, I have Joaquin Torres here. He does become like a Falcon, like eventually down the line, I guess. I believe that I liked that fact, the fact that we don't get them kind of interacting here and we kind of just see what they've been doing since Endgame. And of course, it makes sense to put like Bucky in kind of therapy after everything that he's done. And you get like a, we can talk spoilers like 100%, right? Or just like mild.
I mean, 100%. Yeah. Again, I was just saying, because I don't think there's any like big spoilers that haven't at least been hinted at in the trailers. Right. So, yeah.
Well, okay. With that being said, like the callback to Winter Soldier again with, you know, his old get up on, I was so excited because, I mean, that was my favorite Bucky. I like superhero Bucky, but the badass Bucky that I like was the assassin Bucky. So that was cool, even though he was a villain there. I just like that little callback, even though it was like a nightmare and kind of sequence. But it totally makes sense that he would be in therapy trying to just be a normal person and just do better in life. It just makes 100, you know, makes total sense. And as far as Falcon goes, he has a family here. And I loved seeing that kind of dynamic of what happens after, you know, you've been gone for 5 years and I've had to keep things afloat. And that's great storytelling as far as that. So those are kind of the things that I really enjoyed seeing. And we don't really get it a lot too much from like villains here besides the Flag Smashers. Name is terrible. But besides the Flag Smashers here, you get kind of a little bit with them and, you know, U.S. Agent at the end. But yeah, I'm just excited to see where they all go. And I really hope if there is big reveals, I hope there isn't, because I think, like I said, with WandaVision, when it was getting close to the finale, I was fine with what would happen if it was just these characters. I wasn't looking for, if you go back to older podcasts, I wasn't looking for a Doctor Strange or whoever, because I thought what they had was perfectly fine. Agatha, Wanda, Vision, White Vision, Monica Rambeau. I think all of that was perfectly fine. And I kind of think the same thing here. You got the two leads, you got the villains. This is all you really need. You know, not every episode needs a big kind of hoopla to, you know what I mean? So that's, I liked what we got here.
I one thought that I had from earlier that I forgot to mention or chime in on. This is going 10 minutes ago. On the week to week, like with WandaVision, the week to week speculation game was probably the thing I enjoyed the most about the show. But when the show is over, it's the thing that ended up disappointing me the most. Which is an interesting I'm split down the middle of what the fun, the weekly rhythm of waking up at 6 a.m. with my kids to watch the new episode. Same thing we did with Mandalorian. That was a lot of fun. That was really cool to make that just a thing we did as a family. And then making videos, we're speculating. But then when we got to the end, because of all of that, it was like, oh, I don't think this lived up to any of this didn't go nearly as high and as ambitious as it could have. And so I think with this show, you can still have the weekly fun and rhythm of watching it. You can still have some of the, oh, this is cool to discuss, but I don't think you'll have the disappointment because it is more straightforward. I wonder if there's a hybrid model of you do two episodes a week. So you stretch it out over a month, but you also get a bigger binge. You get a meatier chunk than just going for that. Like this week's, like episode one, I was like, yeah, I don't feel like this needed to have more action, but because it didn't have kind of more meat to it, it was just this 40 minutes at this, like you get to the end of it, like, okay, I want more. That didn't feel satisfying while not being bad. I don't have a criticism. It just wasn't fully satisfying with where it ends off.
That's how I felt towards the end. Like, you know, when it ended, I was like, okay, you know, good episode, but okay.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I definitely think that model could work. And I think, honestly, it would be a good hybrid. So hopefully, I mean, we'll see how it goes with shows like Loki and What If and things later down the road. But that, I think, would be definitely a good idea. So I do want to hear, what were your guys' final ratings out of 10 for this episode? And again, just listeners, keep in mind that this is probably not going to be our final ratings because, again, we do have 4 or 5 other episodes to go. But just for the first episode, what would you guys rate it out of 10?
I really liked, now thinking about it, I'm going to do a full rewatch, of course, you know, so I can get that 4K feel for, you know, when the show actually premieres. So now knowing what I got and thinking about everything that I liked, and if I went into it without seeing any other reactions, I probably would have had a more, like, at the moment last night, probably would have had a more, okay, that was, like, really, really, really good. But then after seeing the reactions, I was like, okay, so, all right, you know. But I think after thinking about it and talking with you guys, I'd probably give it, like, an 8.5 out of 10, or an 8 out of 10 if you don't do halves and stuff. Because I think it's good, and I really like, I think it makes sense to kind of open up with a lot of the, see what they're doing and seeing. One thing I mentioned when I watched Zack Snyder's Justice League was that I really liked how, because of the runtime, everyone had a moment to really breathe and everyone had a moment of character development. And I don't think it would have made sense for right off the bat, we got this action and Winter Soldier, they're already buddy buddy and they're already working together and then stuff, you know. I think it makes sense for you to show the audience what's been going on, you know, after Endgame, during Endgame. How are other characters affected? How are other characters affected by Bucky's past life as being an assassin and stuff? And then Falcon, how his family was affected when he was gone. Also shows, I also love the idea of, you know, with Falcon's story, how they did a thing where, you know, when you're a superhero, that doesn't mean you're like Tony Stark and you're rolling in bank or like Doctor Strange or anything like that. Like, I like when superheroes are still fighting the good fight, but at their home and in their home life, they struggle. That's why I connect so much with Spider-Man. That's all he's ever been. The MCU one is a little different, but that's why I liked what they did with Falcon here. So 8 out of 10 for me.
I don't really like to give ratings for individual episodes. TV shows, it's just weird to rate them because there's so much more to them. I'd be in that same range, a B+, 8, 8.5 out of 10, something like that. That's very solid. Definitely gets a recommendation, a thumbs up. Didn't fully like blow my mind, wow me. There's room to be more wowed, but I didn't have any specific negatives in and of itself what was released there. So it's kind of a tricky one to even give a score to, because it's like, yeah, I really dug it, but it didn't like blow my mind. I have no negatives, but it didn't blow my mind. And I'll just kind of double down on what he said there about having breathing room. That same language that I use, that same exact language to talk about the Snyder Cut. And it applies here too, of breathing room to get to know these characters. Like, it might be the most day-to-day we've ever seen characters of the MCU. And this thing is 13 years old now, and it's the most day-to-day we've ever seen of, like, what happens the day after you jump out of a plane and catch terrorists? What do you do the next day? Yeah, and this, it looks at that. If you're an assassin that's also a hero that was brainwashed, and then the world ends, and then you come back, what do you do afterwards? How do you process that? And it lets us just sit in that. And that's cool. If you're going in expecting nonstop action, that's not exactly what this is. But if you want to see the day-to-day of these heroes, we get that, which is pretty cool. And so I really dug it. It's very familiar, but it's also very different, which is also a nice combination. And it's so much of it is exactly what I expected, but I was not expecting this much. Just let's meet these characters.
Yeah. I think Falcon and the Winter Soldier, for me, at least, it was definitely a return to kind of more Marvel's action packed roots, but with a character driven angle, as you guys mentioned, that I really enjoyed. And it does kind of show the unique angle that this show will hopefully have. I honestly would probably give this first episode alone a 7 to 8 out of 10, probably on the low to high 7s, honestly. Because again, there wasn't anything that truly wowed me, but there wasn't anything that I could single out and say that it was maybe a negative. Again, I wasn't expecting this show to maybe take as many risks as WandaVision would. And I like it when shows take risks, so maybe that hurt it a bit for me. But overall, for what it's trying to be, it's great, and once again, I think it will definitely please those hardcore Marvel fans that maybe felt that WandaVision was a little bit lacking or a little bit too unconventional for them. It's definitely going to please them. that's it for this week's episode of the Global Film Podcast. So where can we find everyone on social media?
You can find me on Twitter at Cinemaniac94, and if you want to follow me on Instagram, you can follow me at Cinemaniac1994 on Instagram, and the podcast on all socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, it's Cinemania World.
You can find me on Twitter at Kirk Never Died, and then if you go to the YouTube, search for Sean Chandler, you'll either find an NFL player or a guy that looks like me talking about movies. It's the guy that looks like me and that's talking about movies.
And you can find me personally at the Diego Andaluz, and that's A-N-D-A-L-U-Z, on Twitter, Letterboxd, and Instagram, as well as the podcast at Global Film Pod on Twitter. Thank you everyone for coming on board today. Thank you all for listening. And make sure to rate, subscribe, and follow us to be notified when the next episode comes out. Next weekend, we'll be talking about Bob Odenkirk's Nobody, so make sure to subscribe and follow us to be notified when that one comes out.